Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Attention Ditto heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Welcome, my friends, to WABC Talk Radio 77, Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. I'm James Golden, a.k.a. Mr. Snerdly. Here with you, 800-848-WABC is the number to reach us should you want to participate on today's program, 800-848-WABC. And as always, there's a lot of news. Always. And with me, it's Thursday, which means one of my favorite days of the week is Andrew Giuliani Day. You get a chance to talk with Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
James, always great to be with you, my friend. Really good to be with you.
Same here. Now, Andrew, when I saw this headline, I laughed. I said, no, he wouldn't dare. He can't. Who is advising this man? Are these people delusional? Have they been smoking that stuff that they found in the White House or ingesting it somehow? Joe Biden. Donald Trump has been asking the question. Are you better off today? This question that has been in every single presidential campaign since Ronald Reagan first introduced it. Are you better today than you were 4 years ago? Now, Joe Biden picked up the ball and ran with it. He claims somehow, well, Donald, I'm glad you asked me that question, man, because I hope everyone in the world takes a moment to think back what it was like in March of 2020. And then he reminded the audience that the coronavirus had been in America. Hospital emergency rooms were overcrowded. First responders risking their lives to care for the sick. People that he would later try to throw out of jobs because they wouldn't follow his vaccine mandate. But today he sees fit to talk about the people that were the first responders that were risking their lives caring for the sick. Morgues were being set up outside of hospitals. And we were even in a toilet paper crisis, he said. And we were in a mass crisis, too, because of all of that. So he's going to pick up the ball and run with it and say, yeah, we're better off today because coronavirus is gone. Not a word about how much inflation he has caused. Not a word about him trying to get rid of your cars now because he and his green wacko buddies think that gas-powered cars are the worst sin that you can commit if you drive them. Not a word about the way that he has totally allowed the United States to be invaded by 10 million illegal immigrants on his watch. Not a word about some of the wokeness that he has brought to government. But no, he thinks that life today in the United States is better than it was when Donald Trump was the president. Andrew, what do you make of this?
James, the only way that this can make any logical sense if Joe Biden is actually going to the Roosevelt Hotel and asking the illegal migrants who have came in, is your life better today than it was 4 years ago, who are getting their debit cards in their hands? Because that's the only way that this makes any sense for every single reason that you outlined there and above. And by the way, just going back 4 years ago to look at all this, remember, Donald Trump shut the border down from China, basically stopped all the travel from China in January at the behest of a political prisoner who's in jail right now, Peter Navarro. By the way, that very same day, Joe Biden called Trump racist and xenophobic for doing that. So I contest that you would have lost maybe twice to three times the amount of lives under Joe Biden if he was president on that day in January of 2020 versus Donald Trump and the way that he actually handled that. But you're absolutely right. For every other reason that you could detail over the last 3 years plus, from inflation, from this illegal migrant crisis, to 10 million that have ultimately come over the border now, to the fact that we are no longer energy independent in this country, and what that has meant, how that has caused inflation to go through the roof. This is amazing. I mean, I wonder if Donald Trump needs to pay the Biden campaign for an in-kind donation for just bringing this idea up, because it's kind of incredible when you think about it. Obviously, they think that Americans, have just not been paying attention for the last 3 years, and that's how they think they're going to get away with messaging this. But it kind of
I remember the first 2 years. Andrew, do you remember the first 2 years of the Biden administration, two going into three, when you would go into your grocery store, the store that you've been shopping to for years, and all of a sudden see empty shelves everywhere because products weren't on the shelves, because there was a supply chain issue caused by the Biden policies? Does anybody remember that? And we're just now easing out of that in some cases, but it's still not uncommon for items that people look for to be out of stock because the supply chain is still struggling in some ways to get back up to where it was. America never experienced those kind of problems before Joe Biden, at least not since the era of the Depression and post-World War II when things were rationed and there was a shortage of some issues due to the wartime economy back then. But since the baby boomer generation in the 1950s, America had never experienced those kind of things as we did under the first 2 or 3 years of Joe Biden.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the only thing that I would say that is close to this is kind of the gas rationing of the 70s, basically. And that's
Jimmy Carter.
I remember at one point, basically, during the first. Yeah, exactly. During the last couple of years here, when they were talking about this, when gas had gone up from $2 plus a gallon to over $5 a gallon on national average, and they were talking about potentially gas rationing. So for every single reason that you just pointed out there, you are absolutely right. And just even if you did have on your shelves the food that you wanted, I think this is the best way to look at it. What used to cost you $10 now costs you $13. What used to cost you $100 now costs you $130. And it's just unaffordable for most families now that are looking at it. That's why, again, to me, this baffles my mind that he would go to this messaging, because I think most Americans are going to look at this and say, no, life was a lot better 4 years ago than it is today for all of the reasons that we just talked about here. And I think I'd rather go back to that, what was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, rather than four more years of Joe Biden and continuing to see inflation spin out of control and continuing to see another, 10 million illegal migrants pour over our southern border in what's effectively an invasion of this country.
Well, speaking of migrants, perfect segue, Andrew. Speaking of quote unquote migrants, there is a migrant TikToker. I don't know whether he's here illegally or not, but he has 500,000 online followers, and now he is offering his friends on TikTok some advice. Here is the advice. They should invade unoccupied homes and invoke squatters' rights all throughout the United States. So he's advising illegal immigrants, join this new fad that seems to be taking over in some places of invading unoccupied homes. Just, you're a squatter. No one can throw you out. Now, we just saw this in Flushing, Queens. This poor woman inherited a house. She tries to go to the house. The squatters are in the house. She tries to change the locks in her house. The police come. They do nothing to the people that are in her house illegally. They drag her off in handcuffs because she tried to change the locks in her legal house. This is maddening. By the way, some of those squatters have fled, some quote-unquote vigilantes. Some people showed up and said, you people need to get out of here. One guy stayed, But the two most egregious of them left already because people have had it with this business. But now you have this quote-unquote migrant urging other illegal immigrants go invade people's unoccupied houses in America and claim squatters' rights. How do you see this ending up?
James, if this was 4 or 5 years ago, and you told me the top two headlines that you just read me, I would have said you're reading out of the Babylon Bee or something like that, that this is just theater of the absurd. But it's tough to imagine that this is reality, and the fact that you have somebody on TikTok who is literally telling these illegal aliens how to break the law, and that we're instead taking it out on the property owner instead of these people that are coming in, that are trespassing, and that are doing this, that are claiming squatters' rights. I mean, that's why in all of these blue states that do put in these squatters' rights, it just shows you that they really do not believe in the free market and free enterprise. They really are communists in so many of their ways. In when you look at these property rights, because if you think about it, right, if you've taken away those individual rights, those individual property rights, that's really one of the basis for our free market. That's really one of the main things that sets us aside apart from communism to what we actually have now, where property rights are actually enforced and they are private. And so I think this is really by design when you look at a lot of these blue states and why they have these, we'll call them tenant rights, but in this situation, it's squatter rights. It's somebody that has the ability to come in and basically take your property from you and tie you up in court for years and years and years. And I'm so glad that you highlighted yesterday that this woman from Flushing, Queens, who got arrested for all this, because you think about it, this is somebody who, it's not like this is somebody who has, you know, a bunch of different buildings and has the opportunity to live somewhere else and just is going through what would be a hassle. Even if you did have, you know, 3 or 4 different buildings that you own, this is something that shouldn't happen. But now this is their primary residence where they still need to pay the gas. They still need to pay the heat. They still need to pay all the different things that it takes to keep up with this.
The taxes.
The taxes, which is, as we, in New York, as we know, is through the roof. And they're actually going in there and they're putting in partitions so that way they could sublet this place, her home, her own home, that they're doing. So, I mean, it's tough to believe that this is reality, James. It really, really is. I can't believe it.
Andrew, I have a prediction. And again, I want to be really clear to folks listening. I am not advocating. I am saying I have a prediction based on the way that human nature works. And that is that in some time in the near future, unless this sort of behavior is remedied by legislatures and the court, we are going to be here, Andrew, discussing a story that has the most horrific ending that you could think about for some of these squatters.
Yeah.
People are incensed. And all it takes is one person who decides that they are so incensed that they are not going to take it. They're not going to take it from being tied up in the legal morass that they get tied up in. They're not going to take it from having someone wantonly and openly stealing their property. All it takes is one person to say, I've had enough. And I predict to you, I'm sorry, if the state legislatures do not act responsibly and quickly and stop this scourge of people squatting in people's houses, if we don't see actions from state and local governments to stop this, you and I are going to be sitting on this program and we're going to be talking about a situation that ended up really badly.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I don't foresee the state legislature in New York doing anything about this stuff because for some reason they're trying to score political points with the radical left. It's just tough to imagine that there's any demographic, that there's any group of people that look at this and say, yeah, you know what, this is what I want for my government. I want a government that's going to allow a squatter to illegally go and basically seize property, which for a period of time, which could be up to years, they are seizing property and then turning it into an actual business. It's tough to imagine blue, red, conservative, liberal, that anybody would actually want that. But it's also tough for me to envision that this state legislature, which has obviously been so pro-tenant and anti-landlord is the best way to put it. I know that's not expressing it even enough in terms of what this is, but that's what they've been. They've been so anti-landlord in everything that they've done, them actually rolling this back, because I'm sure that you end up having a radical group that is out there that is saying, you know what, this, we need to do this because they're infringing on tenants' rights by doing this, even though it's squatters who are legally doing that. And I'm sure that they're involved in these campaign coffers and making sure that these people have campaign contributions that they need. And if they basically go against this stuff, it wouldn't surprise me if they're worried about getting primary from the left, which is shocking.
It is shocking. Andrew, we got to take a quick break here. I want you to stay with me. Listen, folks, it's the 77 WABC Big Basketball Bracket Challenge. UConn, Houston, Purdue, Duke. Who is going to be this year's tournament champ? Registration open right now. Go to WABCradio.com/bracket to sign up now. It's free to enter. You can make up to five brackets for your chance to win. And yes, win. You're going to play against Sid and Friends in the morning. Greg Kelly, Rudy Giuliani, and the rest of the 77 WABC squad. Win. The grand prize is $500. So go to WABCradio.com/bracket. Sign up now. You know the deal. Birthday today, 1953, Robert Johnson, singer with the one, the only Casey and the Sunshine Band on WABC Talk Radio 77, 800-848. WABC is our number. Stay with us.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush
on 77 WABC.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the construction accident lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush. She loves you, yeah, yeah,
yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. 1964. The Beatles were in the number one position with I Want to Hold Your Hand for 7 weeks, and then on the eighth week, this one went to number one. Kevin just told me the most amazing story about this is why I love music. No matter how much you know, someone always knows something you don't know. What's the deal with this song?
So when they initially wrote the song, John and Paul, James McCartney, who's Paul's dad, heard it in Liverpool. They're trying it out. And he said, I like the song, but change yeah, yeah, yeah to yes, 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 because yeah, yeah, yeah is too American. I'm tired of the Americans in music. I want yes, yes, yes.
Can you imagine if they actually followed that advice? She loves you, yes, yes, yes. Oh, well, that's so lame.
Not as cool, not as cool.
Absolutely. Great story, Kev. Andrew Giuliani is here. Andrew. You know, the Department of Homeland Security just got a big bump in this new budget that they crafted. I'm not even going to talk about this budget because it's over $1 trillion to last for the rest of the fiscal year. We're spending $1.2 trillion in a few months is basically what that means. Okay. Yep. The Department of Homeland Security just got a huge raise in this budget. And we have just learned that immigration judges have thrown out 200,000 deportation cases because Mayorkas, Biden, this administration refused to even do the basic paperwork necessary to deport people.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Actually, the only thing I'm surprised by, it's not more than 200,000. But
it may be.
Yeah, It may be, right? It may be. This is just what we know of.
Right.
But when you look at what DHS has done and how they've just the complete dereliction of duty all the way from the Secretary Mayorkas all the way down throughout that department, coming right from the White House, by the way, coming right from Joe Biden. It's an atrocity to the United States of America. And, you know, when you look at this budget, one of the other things that I find really, really disgusting in this is when the House put in a lot of the anti-censorship provisions in there, basically to defund what the last Congress had passed, which is the misinformation departments of the Biden administration, stuff where they would target conservative speech, any of the stuff that questioned the efficacy of vaccines, anything that questioned whether or not the 2024 election looking forward would be contested fairly or not. This budget actually has taken that stuff out of it, even though the House has actually passed this. I don't expect with this Senate and sadly with this White House that this stuff is going to make it through the final bill here. But this is, I think, another reason exactly why we need real change in Washington, D.C., because until then, we're going to continue to get these Orwellian disinformation councils, if you will, that will sadly be supported by our federal budget.
You know, you're right. You know, we had a suggestion, by the way, when we were talking about the illegal the immigrant that is suggesting to illegal immigrants that they start squatting in people's houses, that this is a move that would further their chances of staying in the United States. Just go squat in an unoccupied house. Our small caffeinated mom, America's small caffeinated mom, Rhonda Schrock, says that she would invite the squatters to join AOC. Also, go squat in Nancy Pelosi's house. She has a freezer full of ice cream waiting for them. Now, I know this is great fantasy stuff, but let me ask you just a question, Andrew. What do you think would be the response if, instead of just your average run-of-the-mill American second-class citizen peasant that were being subject to this behavior, what do you think would be the reaction if you had people showing up while Nancy and Paul are out spending their NVIDIA dollars in San Francisco if someone did get in their house and said, I want to squat here? What do you think would be the reaction if somebody moved into wherever AOC stays at when she's not in Washington or going to Met Galas that cost a fortune because she manages to get a freebie invite in? What do you think would be the reaction if someone did squat in her house? What do you think would be the reaction if someone squatted over at Chuck Schumer's Brooklyn condo? What do you think? Do you think that we would be talking about squatting a little bit differently? Let's say somebody went out to L.A. and went out to that mansion that Maxine Waters has and says, I like this place. I want to squat here. Or any of these other places. What do you think would happen then?
I think the leftist media would go absolutely crazy. And first off, with Maxine's, I think it's not even in her district, right? So they probably
not.
Get lost there looking in the wrong district, actually, and realizing, wait a second, she's actually a carpetbagger. But you're absolutely right. I mean, just the way that they cover this stuff, the way the left covers this stuff, if it's something that appears to help their political means moving forward, it's so different than actually presenting the facts, presenting the truth to Americans, and actually presenting this case that you've covered so well about this woman in Flushing. I know we talked about it, but again, this could be anybody who, let's say, leaves their place for a long weekend or something like that, decides to go see some family, and all of a sudden you've got a squatter in there. Now, we know it's 30 days that they have to inhabit it, but the problem is she just left for a couple of days or so. This guy was in, and all of a sudden now you're dealing now with the courts and trying to get him out, and the sheriff does not want to get this person out of there. And because of that, you have this massive problem. And that's ultimately why she took things into her own hands, because she realized, wait a second, the clock is ticking. If this gets to 30 days, all of a sudden you might be talking about years and years and years in housing court in a state that frowns upon landlords. And it's not even a landlord. This is the property owner. So that's why, as you keep talking through this and you keep thinking through this, you really think you're in bizarro world as you think more and more about this. And you know, I don't know if this has to go to the Supreme Court where you can actually reaffirm property rights, Americans' property rights over
it's
here.
Going to, Andrew, it's going to have to. It's going to have to eventually.
I'm sure they'll look at this and kick it back to the states and say, states decide this. And this is just going to be another reason why people will end up fleeing blue states, because they'll look and say, wait a second, why would I want to own property in New York if I'm paying so much more in taxes? And if, by the way, my property can be seized from me by an illegal immigrant or by anybody else who decides to claim squatters' rights.
It truly is. You said it, and you said it beautifully. It's Orwellian, and we are living through an Orwellian period of time right now. So, Andrew, as always, my friend, what a great, great pleasure it is to speak with you, catch up on your thinking. I look forward to it every Thursday. I will look for it, God willing, next Thursday. We're here together. It's just such a treat. Thank you, Andrew Giuliani.
James, thank you so much, as always. And if anybody's out there, make sure if you're leaving for a weekend, lock up your doors. Lock up your doors in New York. We don't want to hear another squatters' rights issue with any of our WABC listeners. So lock up your doors.
Absolutely. James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley, and his Bo Snurleys. Oh, Rich is hooking me up.
Take a listen here.
This is one of Tom Bell and Linda Creed's masterpieces.
I'll never
the stylistics.
The words, my love,
on this day in 1951, the lead singer, and by the way, this is not him. They gave one of the other four the back a little light on this one. Like there's someone else singing besides Russell Tompkins Jr. But Russell Tompkins Jr., the singer with the stylistics. Born on this day in 1951. Part of the Philadelphia sound.
Created everything
on WABC, you make.
Taught me how to live.
Me feel brand new. Happy birthday to Russell Tompkins Jr.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Bo Snerdly.
On 77 WABC.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Okay, Rich, why are you playing?
All right, well, this is a little tip that you sent
us
here.
Mike.
Sorry,
Mike
was a little low there. So in 2013, The Dark Side of the Moon, which this song was off this album, was set to seal its place in history at the U.S. Library of Congress as part of its National Recording Registry, the recording that received the highest number of public nominations for this year's registry was this album, Dark Side of the Moon, from 1973.
And this, I mean, this album stayed on the chart. It's like I think the longest chart position of any album in history is this album.
Yes, I think so. I mean, it was on there for a little like 20, 25 years, something like that.
Yeah, unbelievable. Okay, if you live or you know somebody that lives in the projects, yes, the projects. So if you're out in 40, you know... If you're out in the 40 projects out in Jamaica, South Jamaica, 40 houses, if you're out there, if you're in the Polo Grounds, if you're wherever there's New York City housing, I got news for you. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants you to go green in the projects. She and Bernie Sanders and other left-wingers are supposed to be launching something called the Green New Deal for Public Housing Act. Here's what they want. If you live in the projects, they want you to get rid of your gas stove that you like cooking your meals on and get one of these electric stoves. They want you to put an EV. They want to put EV chargers in the projects so that I guess when you're driving around in your Teslas and your other $150,000, $200,000 cars in the projects, you have somewhere to charge them. The bill is designed to reimagine and reinvigorate public housing in the United States and reverse many of the environmental injustices that the public housing residents have faced. Oh, it's unjust that you have to cook on a gas stove. So they're going to correct that. It's unjust that you don't have a charger for your electric car while you're living in the project. Yo, we're going to fix that. These people are on another planet. They truly are. Of all of the concerns of people living in the projects, living in New York City public housing, I promise you, getting rid of your gas stove is not high on your list of things that you want in your life. That is not what you sit at night keeping you awake or lay in the bed keeping you awake all night. Oh my goodness, how am I going to get rid of this gas stove? It's not green enough. I need some more. I need green. And then what happens with the electricity bill? These people. Speaking of which, Democrat Senator Sammy Baldwin of Wisconsin is requesting in the budget $400,000. Now, granted, I know $400,000, that's peanuts in the federal budget. That's not even a rounding error. It's just $400,000. I know. But still, for us real people, it's $400,000. You know what she wants the 400 grand for? She wants the 400 large for a group called Briar Patch Youth Services. You know what they do? They provide queer support groups. So they give kids between the ages of 13 and 18 gaffes. You don't know what gaffes are? For tucking underwear and binding. You know what binding is? Go back to the 18th century. Even further. No, actually back then, women used to be proud to show off their bosoms. Now, what these groups do, tell children, oh, if you don't want to show that you're growing, you know, that you're growing mammary glands, bind them up. And then if you're a boy and you don't want to show that you have a dangly, then tuck it in. And she wants $400,000 of your tax dollars to go to this group that for kids 13 to 18, chest binders and gaffes, so that they can try to hide what gender they are. This is how they believe your money should be spent. Telephones, we go. Orange County. Alan, welcome. You're on Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour here on WABC. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, Bo. Thanks for having me back on again. So I want to talk to you about the squatters' rights segment that you were talking about before. These laws in the blue states and blue cities are absolutely unconstitutional. They violate right on its face the Fourth Amendment, which gives us the right to be secure in our persons, houses, and papers. So that's number
absolutely.
One. Now, number two, it violates the Due Process Protection Act, in the case of that poor woman out in Queens who was arrested by the police. Don't they have better stuff to do than that at this
no,
point?
No, like, apparently around, not. Not in Democrat Party America. They will arrest homeowners who actually want the security of living in their homes. This woman got this home through an inheritance. And before she could even take possession of it, you have some squatters in there. But no, the police arrest her and leave the squatters in the house. It's just unbelievable. In answer to your question, no, they don't have anything better to do.
What would have happened if she would have called the police at the onset of this incident? Would they have helped her get rid of the squatters or tell her she had to go to court?
She tried to get rid of them. And of course, nothing happened to them. No, nothing ever happens to them. The same way nothing happens to illegal immigrants. Look, when I tell you that you are now a second-class citizen in your own country, I mean it. You are a second-class. You are a second-class citizen. You have to go through little things like, oh, if the government mandates that you take a virus protection, if you have to take this vaccine, you don't take it, you can lose your job. Your kids don't have to go to school. But if you come here illegally, why, never mind that little rule. That's just for Americans. You can send your kid to school with whatever disease they've got. You can send, TSA, that's only for Americans. You have to show your ID. But only if you're an American citizen. If you come here illegally, never mind the ID. We'll put you on a plane. Where do you want to go? No, you don't have to show us anything. And now, if you are an American citizen and you have a constitutional right, as you say, to your own property, and this was a big deal when we founded this country, the idea that citizens had a right to private property. This was transformational in the world that existed at the time. This is one of the things that made America the light of the world. There's a government that actually protects private property against the government. That was America. But now, all you have to do is just go take someone's property. And they'll throw the owner of the property in jail. You're a second-class citizen in America. It's sickening. It's beyond belief. Alan, I got to run. I love your calls. Thank you. Always informative. It's time for us to check in with Lou Dobbs. Oh, yes. Birthday today for Sister Rosie. Rosemary Stone. Vocals, piano, for Sly and the Family Stone. Born in 1945. And this one, of course, from the There's a Riot Going On album back in 1971. Sly and the Family Stone, birthday today for Sister Rosie, Rosemary Stone, on WABC Talk Radio 77. Your phone call still coming up. Keep it right here on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour.
Mom loves
Rush.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Bo Snerdly
on 77 WABC.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
This song has one of the most amazing histories. Solomon Linda wrote the song while he was a cleaner at a Johannesburg record company. You know how much money he got? Almost nothing. This guy died with $25 in his bank account. But in 2006, three of his children won a six-year court case that gave them 25% of all past and future royalties from this song. It was recorded by Pete Seeger, the Kingston Trio, the Tokens, Carl Denver, R.E.M., featured in The Lion King. And Lion King alone, this song earned about $15 million. The guy who wrote it died with $25 in his bank account. That justice corrected for his children, thankfully. The lion woke up.
Jay James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Joe in Long Island. How are you, Joe? Welcome.
Good, thank you. I just wanted to make a point. Donald Trump borrows money, pays it back with interest, but he gets punished and his property gets confiscated. College students who borrowed money didn't pay it back. They get rewarded, their debt gets canceled, and Biden brags on national TV at his State of the Union speech about shifting the burden onto taxpayers.
You know what, Joe? I would like permission. That is a commercial. You have just delivered what the Republican Party doesn't seem to be able to do, a message in less than 30 seconds that hits the nail on the head. Somebody ought to send the transcript of this to the Trump campaign. This is a brilliant commercial. You framed it beautifully and excellently. Thank you for the call. Joe in Queens, New York. How are you?
How are you, Bo? First time caller. I just want to thank you for keeping the word out there. Because it's insane, man. Whatever is going on is insane. And Americans need to wake up. I just want to know when they're going to wake up. But God bless you, man. You keep on. I'm sorry.
No. Thank you. And so thank you so much for those kind words. And yes, we have become second-class citizens living in America, in our own nation. And this has got to stop. We have got to stop this. Joe, you're very kind. Thank you for those wonderful words. Rick in Elmwood, you're up next.
James, I could save the government a lot of money by tucking guys' peckers in for free with my right foot.
That would be a little too painful for everybody to be. Do you know that there is a story that I just don't have time to do? I will do the story on Saturday, but I'm going to give you the headline of the story. Exclusive. The strangest things men have shoved up their bottoms for pleasure. From a World War I bomb to a fish and 20 McDonald's Happy Meals toys. New book reveals history of extreme masturbation techniques. Can't do that today. We'll do it Saturday. Robert in Brooklyn, New York. You're up next.
Yeah, well, just to add to what that prior call mentioned, you know, everything weaponized against Trump, and then the students, they don't have to pay back their loans. Peter Navarro, they put him in jail, take away people's property. Second Amendment, that provides illegals with gun rights, but not us. Illegals, all these illegals, the military age are here. I applaud Texas for taking out of their money from BlackRock, who is against our values. And the last point is about this guy, Yaroslav Hunka, the SS officer, 98-year-old guy who was honored in Canada Parliament. Well, guess what? Ukraine, some regional council in Ukraine voted him a medal. He gave it to his great niece. And they don't.
Boom. We got to go here. Time is up. May God bless and protect each and every. What? I just got a note from Debbie Duhaime. She's shocked about. I'm reporting the news, Debbie. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your families, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me and allowing me to be with you. God willing, back tomorrow for the Friday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. And then Saturday, we're going to do the story, The Strangest Things Men Have Shoved Up Their Bottoms. Until then, bye.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.